Okay, guys, welcome to the TDC Connected meeting. We did have a couple of suggestions for this meeting. A couple of guys actually just wanted to kind of shoot some questions tech-wise to Bud and Sean. We had a few suggestions for that, and then also a couple for a little bit more on office efficiency. As you guys will recall, we spoke at length with Dave Reinhart, how he organizes just about every aspect of his day, from the pre-day planning to his route management, all the way to get home and when he does repair. One of the things we did not kind of delve into, though, was in his shop. Once he actually physically gets in his shop and he's ready to roll with repair, billing, et cetera, how does that whole process take place? We just kind of glazed over that. Yeah, you spend, you know, from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock in your shop doing repair, and then that was it. And so what we had was a couple of recommendations and suggestions on, hey, how are guys actually efficient in their shops? And so what I did is I reached out to a couple of guys and asked them, and one of the guys who had a really good plan on what he did, he was very thorough with his explanation, and obviously you all know him because he's been a franchise owner for such a long, and that's Jay Eubanks. So Jay is going to join us today and go through his exact kind of step-by-step actions that he takes in his shop to make his repair shop time as efficient as humanly possible so he can get the repairs done, the billing done, and get out of his shop. So we'll be talking to Jay here in just a little bit. One of the things Bud wanted me to announce was that he gets constantly questions from everybody. Hey, any new updates? Any new updates? Any new updates? So what we're going to do is make the 15th of the month Copilot update day. So for all of you who might randomly check on the 6th of the month or the 10th of the month or the 20th of the month or just some random day to see if there's any Copilot updates, we're going to do an announcement on the 15th of every month to what the Copilot and also TDC Connected website updates are. So you can all just put in your phone, put in whatever calendar or organization system that you have on the 15th of every month to check the TDC Connected site for both TDC Connected updates and Copilot updates. We're going to make that an official, without a doubt, update day. And or if we do post some updates prior to that day, we'll at least announce them on the 15th so that you all know what was updated that month in case you lost a little bit of track. So quickly, so that everybody knows the instructions here, if you want to join in and participate in the call with your thoughts, please hit *6. Remember, *6 will unmute your line and allow you to comment, and then please, when you are in with those comments so we don't hear the background noise and the GPS systems that some of you folks have, go ahead and hit *6 again to mute your line. So I'll start by asking Jay to hit *6 on your line, unmute your line, and join the conversation. Jay, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, David. I'm ready.
Okay,
to
Jay, well,
when you're ready.
We appreciate you speaking with us on your organization and how you run your shop, and I guess I'll just pose the question, and that is, Jay, how do you organize your shop day to make it as efficient as possible? And please, you know, quote with like some examples of you picked up X amount of hand pieces, and this is what brands they are, and this is how I proceed. Are you ready to go for it, Jay?
You bet, I'm ready.
All right. Take her away, Jay.
Okay. Well, the first part for me is when I'm out doing the pickups from different practices, as I'm filling out the worksheet order from the practice, of which I give them a copy of what I've taken away, so they've got a record, I've got a record, I think about the particular hand pieces, and I think through which ones are most problematic for me to repair. And those are the ones that I would set up and repair first when I get into the lab. I save the easy ones for the latter part of the day or the evening as I go through them. And a good example is if I picked up a Midwest Tradition push button and I picked up some Star 430s and I picked up a couple of Rhino motors, I'm going to do the Tradition push button first because that particular handpiece nine times out of ten, it doesn't quite work exactly the way I'd like initially, so it takes a long time. So I do that one first. But as I'm going through these, when I get them all into the lab and got them logged in, every handpiece that I pick up from a practice, I open up, make a couple notes on what I see inside, dirt, grime, whatever the particular problems are. But before I take it apart, I test it for water, test the back caps, test it for cut and power. Then take it apart, clean the back cap, clean the inside of the head, and put that in my ultrasonic cleaner. And I have a little, I use a tea strainer for the back caps to keep them easy to get in and out of my ultrasonic cleaner. And I time my little cleaner, and it on a cycle, it runs 5 minutes. So, for example, the Midwest Tradition, while it's in the ultrasonic cleaner for that five-minute period, I'll be taking apart, the testing taken apart, the Star 430s. So it's like an assembly line. I'll take the Tradition out, put it aside in its own little bin, then I'll put the Star 430 and its back cap in. While that's going through the process, I'll be building the turbine for the Midwest Tradition push button. After I get it built with, and I Loctite bearings on Traditions exclusively, put those in my little toaster oven, run that for a minute and a half, and then as that's cooling down, by that time I'm starting to take the first star out of the six I picked up, put the second one in, and start building the star turbines. While I'm done with the first star turbine, the one that I built for the Tradition push button will be cool enough by that time I can actually put it into the Tradition and test it. That is kind of my system. And then the other thing I do, if I had Traditions, which will fit right on the end of our coupler and the end of our unit, easy, then I get those all done. Then I'll put the swivel on for the stars. And then if I had cavos, I would do the cavos after the stars. I found grouping them as my make and model helps the assembly line factor as I go through. And when I have quite a few handpieces, I'll actually put two in the ultrasonic at once because I have two of the little T strainers for the back caps. But I'm always keep the back cap specific to the handpiece. It just makes it easier when I put them all back together. And then with, like, slow-speed motors, that's a little, obviously you're not putting those through ultrasonic, but you can take them all apart, and while you're waiting on things to cool after going through your little toaster oven, after you've Loctite bearings on a specific turbine, you can be working on a slow-speed motor. One thing that I found that helps me, and I've asked my dentist for this, when they get stars particularly, when you get a brand new star handpiece, there's like a two-piece plastic, clear plastic container inside the box, and they're the right height for the and length for a handpiece. You can put all the parts that you're working with on a specific handpiece in that little tray and move them around on your workbench as you need, as you're either waiting for something to cool, you can be working on a slow speed, or testing other things. And the other thing that I do, I try to, and I do it specific for a dental office. As let's say I've got eight handpieces from a dental office. As soon as I get three of them repaired, since I don't prepare invoices, my wife Luann does all the paperwork for me. When I get the first three handpieces done, I take her the information, which is list serial number, the doctor, and the list by TDC part number of the components I use to repair it and the cost I charge, and she can start preparing the invoice. Complete the one, all the handpieces for that practice, boom, get the total invoice, then move on to the next one. But that's who has worked well for me, is grouping them and planning ahead to do the hard ones first. Any questions you have other than that, David?
Well, I'll just mention that you may have some questions from some other guys. So just to kind
sure.
of summarize here, you're going to group all your hand pieces. In other words, you're going to group all your stars together, your Midwest push buttons together, your Midwest traditions together, your cavas together, et cetera. Then
right.
you're going to tackle the hardest ones first, because you just want to, while you're fresh and you're just ready to go on repair, you want to tackle those. I understand the tradition push button because you're always changing blue O-ring here and a green O-ring there or two black O-rings, and you're kind of finicking around with that and maybe even that front spacer washer.
Sure.
And then you're also doing all of the fixed back end hand pieces first, although you've grouped a Midwest tradition, Midwest push button, and maybe even Japanese canister, so that it's more efficient because you're not taking a coupler on and off, on and off, on and off your line. At
Correct.
The same time, you've got this assembly line going where you've always got, it's a 5-minute cycle on your ultrasonic cleaner where you've got two hand pieces in there. As soon as that 5-minute cycle is done, you grab those two hand pieces out. I'm sure you get another two hand pieces in there going for it. In that amount of time, you're now fixing the two hand pieces that you removed from the ultrasonic cleaner. So you're basically doing a great multitasking system. Then, once you're done with all of those fixed back end hand pieces, you move over to, let's say, the stars. So you take the stars through that same process, and then maybe the cavos. And it sounds like, in another way to, you know, kind of streamline things, you don't wait until you're done with all 8 or 10 or 12 hand pieces to give the information to Luann to do the invoicing. When you get 3 done, bang, you get her the information so that she can do the proper invoicing so that, you know, you're not kind of putting all that work at the end that's going to take you some time.
Correct.
Did
right.
I do a good summary of what you kind of go through on your typical repair day?
Yeah, excellent synopsis.
Now,
you're right.
Now, you also mentioned to me while we were talking the other day, while a handpiece is cleaning, when you get them out before, let's say, you're going to build the turbine, you get the O-rings into, let's say, back caps and stuff, so you're prepared there so that when you get that turbine built, you get to just plop it in the handpiece and go for it, right?
Yes, right. Yeah, that's a good point. And the other thing that I found that works well for me is I'll actually take our pin oiler, and
uh-huh.
after I get the O-ring inside, I'll put one drop of oil on the O-ring
uh-huh.
and then take the tip of that oil pin and make a full circle, both
mm-hmm.
in the head and the back cap, and I found yep. it's easier to get the turbines to slide on the back caps and get down into the head.
And another thing you do, which I think a lot of guys might do the opposite, and that is you keep the internal component parts that came out of a handpiece with that handpiece. So if you get in 6 star handpieces, you don't mix and match turbines, back caps, and everything else all into a pile and then just start pulling them out and putting them into handpieces. You keep that specific part and back cap with that handpiece all the way through the line, correct?
Yes. Yes, and those little clear pans I was talking about that are
mm-hmm.
basically a shipping component for stars work well
okay.
for that, because you can have all your components there. Because if you're rebuilding a spindle chuck and it worked really great in the handpiece you're in, it just needs bearings, that's one variable I don't have to deal with down the road if it doesn't work exactly well on initial try. You're right. I keep everything separate. That way there's no cross-piecing of parts, which works well
and then
for me.
I noticed that we kind of glazed over it real quick, or you mentioned it really quickly, and I just wanted to reiterate and go back to it for those folks that I noticed a couple came in late, and that is the first thing you do is you document your findings on that handpiece. You test for water. You test to see if the back cap is good. You test to see if the burr goes in and out well, and you document that on your little worksheet for that particular handpiece. And that way you keep good, basically, notes for yourself after it comes out of the ultrasonic cleaner, because you're doing kind of a streamlined system here. You know exactly what the case was with that handpiece, and you're able to proceed and bill accordingly.
Yes, and that's
right?
a good point. And what I found about this year and a half into doing the repairs, I went to that system because it could be 6, 8, 10 months, maybe 12 months later, and I didn't have any information on, quote, what I just had written down. I used parts X, Y, and Z. but I didn't have any information on what I had dealt with. And I had a couple doctors go, well, wait a minute, you know, I think that, you know, it really wasn't the back cap. And so I started doing the notes. And then when I get done testing the handpiece with let's say I put a new spindle chuck bearings and O-rings in the handpiece, I'll actually write another series of notes that basically say, I tested it today. This is the serial number on the spindle chuck combo I used, and make sure that it was easy to rotate the burrs by hand. It had good cut and power at 38 PSI and easy in and out of back of burrs, good push button action, and a snap to the back cap. That way, if I get that back in 2 or 3 months, I can, and they're saying, well, you know, you've just a poor repair. I've got the notes to say, no, it's typically something else happened. It got dropped, dented in the head, or the back cap got damaged. And the more notes you have while you're on a specific handpiece, I found it's easier to explain a short life on a repair.
Yeah, so that you do a pre-documentation, then you document what parts you put into it, and then you do some testing at the end, and you document how it passed those tests. So you have kind of
correct.
A before, during, and after, essentially,
yes.
set of notes for each and every handpiece.
Yes, and one thing that does take some time on the front end of this whole process, for example, if I picked up 6 or 8 handpieces from a specific practice, you know, first thing I'm going to do is look them up by serial number. And, of course, I use a binder system, a 3-ring binder with the worksheet in it. And the last one I did is on top. And in some cases, the handpiece may be done 8 months ago. In some cases, it could be 2 years ago. So it takes a little bit of time to work through your stack. There might be a better way to do it on a computer, but that's not me. So I spent probably 20 minutes before I actually started repairing handpieces yesterday, just going through the binders to find out the last date that I repaired it and writing down the serial number that I used for that repair. So when I take it apart, I can compare the serial numbers on the spindle chuck combos to make sure it's the right one. Because I have had a couple where it wasn't the same spindle chuck combo. Not very often, but it can happen. And if that happens, I'll say, wait a minute, it's not my turbine. I don't know what happened here. But it's just a cross-check system. It works well for me.
Well, that's a good thing to do. I'm not that you have a lot of dishonest docs out there, but more than that, just for, you know, your own knowledge on the repair going forward and maybe some troubleshooting, it is good to have all those records.
Well, yeah, and I've got a couple practices that every so often the doc will get out, typically Stars, he gets out his Star back cap wrench and thinks, well, I'll just switch the turbine into the other handpiece, it'll work better. Yeah, right. It doesn't, but you know, but at least I have the methodology to say, wait a minute, you switch these up. I don't know why, but here's what we need to do next. And it's eliminated lots of questions, I'll put it that way. And that was early on. I run into that very rarely now.
David, this is Chris. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, I think Jay and I have finished Jay's finished his presentation. So, yeah, if you have any questions for him, please
shoot. Yeah, that's
great.
Well, I can address this question to the entire forum here, not just particularly mm-hmm. to Jay, because you had mentioned the binder. I find it kind of tedious to work on that binder, and the binder is getting very thick for all these accounts that I'm handling. I was just wondering if there's anybody using any digital software of some sort that help facilitate recording of all the work that you've done on all these handpieces. Like, for instance, I have a few doctors, quite a handful of doctors, who would ask for a history of the high-speed handpieces I've worked on. And you have to go through all these paperwork just to be able to generate that historical record of all the hand pieces. I was wondering if there's any software available or some of the franchisees are using that can be helpful in recording all these work that we've done on the hand pieces.
And anybody who, please hit *6 on your phone, guys, if you have a system that you use. I know that you can do that in QuickBooks. If you enter a field that is a serial number, you can at least look all hand pieces up by serial number. But does anybody have a system in particular that they use?
David.
Yes.
I'd like to suggest one.
Sure.
This is Owen. I don't know. What I do is that when I do my own invoicing. So I on my invoice, I not only have that it's a high-speed handpiece, I also put a description there of what I did and what I put in. And in the model serial number, I have the model and the serial number. Then I go into, I think we all use QuickBooks. Then I go into QuickBooks, and if you go into QuickBooks, you can select reports, sales, and then you can look at detailed sales by customer. And if you put, like I do, I put this, when I started the my franchise 3 years ago, I put the start date, and then I leave today's date as today's date. And I refresh the program, and then it brings up every single invoice by customer or by dentist. I then export that to Excel, and in Excel I can use the I can format it to the way I want it, and then I can also use the invoice date, match it against today's date, and tell you how long ago I have seen in months, how long back I've seen them. So if I've seen this particular handpiece 2 years ago, it'll give me 24 months. And if I saw it again a year ago, it'll put there 12 months. And if I saw it again 6 months ago, it'll put 6 there. And there's a field there called a memo. So I had to use that field automatically gets updated with my full description that I put there up to 100 bytes. And I then can expand that, and I can go into the doctor and I can say, this is, we put in a new turbine here, we put in, I did a warranty here at 3 months if it happens, and I then you ran it for 7 or 8 months before I got it back now, and so really it's, it's doing well, or I've
but
got some doctors...
You
Sorry?
Simply used, I mean, we could talk about a bunch of examples, but basically you answered Chris's question greatly, and that is that you use the QuickBooks software, and then you just bring it up by customer detail, and then there is that icon or that button that allows you to convert that to an Excel file, which makes all of this easily accessible.
Accessible formatting, you can you can use you can do selections on it. You can all those that are a year old or something like that. Or if you're looking for a specific handpiece by serial number, you can split the serial number and the model. I use the model number Midwest Tradition / and then I put in the serial number. And so when I get it into Excel, I can separate the model and the serial number and have that in two separate things. What you also get on that is all the parts that have been assigned to each of those invoices. So you can also see what parts you have used to maintain either that particular one handpiece or for that dentist what you've done there. The only part that I don't that I find difficult or that doesn't come up is that sometimes my descriptions are more than 100 bytes long. And
well, can I ask you for a favor for the entire group, Irwin? Would
yeah.
you mind just taking maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes out of your day at some point today if you find some time and just send me a quick step one, step two, step three, step four process on how you do that through QuickBooks, and then I will email that out to everybody so that they can try that same procedure with their QuickBooks and see if that works for them. I'm pretty sure that it does because I've heard of people using a similar sorting system like you just explained, Irwin, in the past. So even if you have QuickBooks 2006 or 2008, I think you can still do all of those same functions.
Yeah. And then
would you mind doing that? Because I'll be happy to email that out to
you. I don't mind at all. It won't take me 15 minutes to do that. Unfortunately, I work a little bit. I'm not as fast.
Don't worry. I don't want to take time out of your day right now, but just at some point today or tomorrow, if you could do that, that would
no,
be
no
awesome.
Problem whatsoever. No problem.
Okay.
I'll put it detailed with pictures and everything of the screens, and I'll do the whole thing for everybody and show you, give you examples of the of how I do the calculation of the months, and I'll put that all in. Don't worry. I'll make
I
a nice document
it.
For everybody. It might take
would
more than 2 days.
Do you think that'll help, Chris?
Yes, definitely. Thank you.
Awesome. And then you guys may not be at home at your computer. You may be out on the road on your cell phones participating in this TDC Connected call. But Dave Reinhart actually just emailed me the repair shop notes that he makes during his initial analysis on a handpiece that he gets in for repair. Anyway, he emailed that to me just a few minutes ago, and then I just forwarded that to all of you guys. So when you get home, if you're not home now, check your computer because Dave Reinhart just sent out an example of his handpiece repair shop notes. So thank you very much, Dave.
David,
yes.
I have a question for Jay.
Yes, sir.
During your presentation, you said you used the word toaster oven, and you used Loctite bearings.
I thought that I should probably clarify that. He uses one of those kind of toaster ovens to help speed up the Loctite drying or heating process.
Okay.
See, normally when you apply Loctite to a bearing and a spindle, it takes about 25 to 30 minutes for it to set up. However, Jay has a kind of a toaster oven in his shop that he has at a certain heat. I'm not sure what heat he has it at, and we could probably talk to him about that. But he puts the hand pieces in there for a couple of minutes, and it actually kind of quick sets that Loctite. So it speeds up, as we're talking about efficiency here, it speeds up his repair time and process.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, David, I'm thinking I set that for so many years ago, but I think I have it like at maybe 150 degrees, maybe, and there's a timer on it, so it goes for, and I think I run it for like 60 seconds, a minute, something like that, and you're right, it's all to help accelerate the drying of the Loctite, and that's a tip that I got from
back in the day or something.
No, actually, from our good friend who was in Florida, North Florida.
Bob Penny.
Yep.
Bob Penny.
And it saves a. Yeah, you're right. As opposed to letting something just sit on a bench and dry over 20 minutes, it really helps that process. You know, so. I think it's 150 degrees. I'll check that when I get home, and I'll let you know. But
okay.
I only do it for like maybe 60 seconds, and then there's a little, you know, it sits on a timer. It dings, tell me it's done, then I can set it out and let it cool in the little bin with the shell and the back cap of the other components. So it just keeps the assembly line process going.
Going well.
Yep.
Okay. And just a comment. I have my stuff in the ultrasonic cleaner for about an hour, because even after an hour, it doesn't get all the oil and the stuff out the head or off some of the bearings from a big one, you know, from a slow speed or something like that. And I seem to I have a lot of trouble with slow speeds where I cannot get them apart, whether I soak them in the sonic cleaner for an hour, take them out, and try and open, you know, open the clutch where the clutch fits onto that front housing. I just cannot get that off. I've tried heat, and one of the problems is how do you grip it so that you don't damage the two pieces when you. I know you can put the one part in the in the collet, and that doesn't damage it. But how do you grip and hold
Bud,
the other?
Bud, are you there?
Yeah, David.
Yeah.
Let me throw this out real quick.
Sure.
There's a company called Oxbow, O-X-B-O-W, and they make a. And you can get these at Sears. Sears Roebuck company, you know, Sears store. And they come in two different sizes, like a 6-inch and 8-inch. And basically the way it works is on the inside it's got two pieces for handle, but the front part of it, which would be like jaws, if you will, mm-hmm. when you squeeze the handle, there's 6 or 8 different pieces that come out evenly. So you squeeze it down, and it puts equal pressure, say, on the outside housing of a Midwest Rhino, as an example.
Mm-hmm.
So I found those to work really well because they do minimal damage. You don't have tease marks from a pair of ice grips, if you will, on a outside housing. They're, I know you can get them from Sears. They're Oxbow makes them. I can't think of the specific name, but they come in different sizes. I found that to work pretty well. The other thing, and I can visualize it, but I can't think of the name of it. It's actually a penetrant rust loosener. I'll look up the name of it when I get home. I found this stuff to work really well. And then once you get it all apart, then you can put it through your ultrasonic cleaner to get all the residue of the oils and stuff off. And I'll look that up when I get home and let you know, David. Then you can email everybody with that. But I can honestly say I've using this particular solvent material. I've never put anything in my ultrasonic more than 2 cycles, which would be 10 minutes. So anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah, please send me that info because I'd be happy to email that out to everybody, Jay.
I'll do that.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for the questions, Erwin and Chris. Are there some more questions for Jay, guys?
Dave, just a quick comment about the taking the slow speeds apart. I'm not sure everyone's aware of the leather emery strips that are available, but ever since I've started using those, I've had a lot better luck in getting the slow speeds apart. And I use a vice grips with a V-shaped jaws in it to clamp down on the leather, and it does a really good job. And I've never dented a handpiece.
Never. That's awesome.
Cool. Hi, David. It's Harv.
Yes, Harv.
To answer that question about getting those items apart, what works really well for me is I bought from Enco another, what I would call a collet holder, and the best I can describe it without showing it to you visually would be like the cylinder of the collet holder that we have that's bolted down to the workbench, but it doesn't have the flanges on where the bolts go through. It's just a cylinder that is hex shaped, and it will fit a 2-inch wrench. I bought an adjustable wrench. It opens up to 2 inches, and then instead of having the nut that screws down on the top like the mechanism works, it has a nut that screws on the bottom of it. If you look at those collets, you have threads on the bottom. Well, those threads protrude through this cylinder, this holder, hex-shaped cylinder, and you screw the nut on the bottom. And that way you can put a collet on each end of the handpiece.
Ah.
And usually they're different sizes anyhow.
Yeah,
and
we
works.
Actually have that here. I know Bud uses that on occasion for certain repairs. I know exactly.
Okay, and I use that a lot on slow speeds that I can't get apart, and that works really well.
Hey, Dave, this is Bud.
Yeah, Bud.
Hey, Sean and I really try to stick with all the 5C collets if any way possible, and one thing we found very helpful is to use the propane torch to heat the other piece of metal up. I haven't had, I haven't had the best of luck with using any of the pliers or anything, especially on clutch housings or any of the components on the True Torx or Shorties. I know some of you guys have, but my personal experience, it's been kind of costly.
So what do you do? You put the handpiece in the 5C collet. Could you explain
just
real quick?
Collet,
for
heat it up a bit with the torch. It doesn't have to be to a point to where it's hot enough where you can't get a hold of it, but we wrap it up with rubber, and in most cases, that'll break it loose. I think one of the penetrants Jay's talking about, there's one out there called Deep Creep, which works
Sorry?
Well. We use WD-40 around here. I've heard there's better stuff. The Deep Creep is, gets into a thinner tolerance than what a WD-40 does.
Mm-hmm, because it's a thinner viscosity?
Exactly. So, that's my input.
Okay. We appreciate that, obviously. Guys, are there some more questions for either Jay or the guys?
Yeah, I've got one.
Yeah.
This is Mike. I was just wondering how people are handling their inventory and what are you storing it in and keeping track of it. That's for anybody. Thanks.
Uh-huh.
Dave, I'll throw in my 2 cents.
Yeah, please do, Jay.
When I started, again, I got to go back to the mentor, Bob Penny, but you can get these bins at like Home Depot or a Lowe's, and they're plastic bin, and they're, the individual tray is like maybe 2 inches high, 4 inches wide, maybe 4 or 5 inches deep. And there's, I think, 16, and they're all, you have to hunt for these, because sometimes you put little tiny ones at the top that are like inch and a half wide, but you get the one, they're all the same size. And then I cover a wall that's probably, like 8 feet wide, and I have 2 sets of those. And then I did it by part number from, based on the TDC, part schedule, so, you know, number 1, 2, 3, 4, however, you know. And then each bin is specific to a part number. And I wrote, and I got white sticky notes you can get from, like, Office Depot, put them on the front of the little tray, and then I wrote in red what the part number is. And then for inventory control, and that's probably anyway, so for inventory control, we actually do a physical inventory every 3 months. And when we do that, Luann just prints it out, and then I do an inventory count. And then sometimes I'm long on one, I might be short on another. But it all pretty much, at the end of the year, balances out. So that's our system.
So how many of those trays do you have, or
oh, well, let's see. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Probably, off the top of my head, without just thinking about it, probably 20. There's got to be 20 of them, and there's
that's a lot.
Oh well, yeah, and of course, what I try to do is, and I did this like the second year, I kind of figured out what I get a lot of, say a lot of Midwest Tradition levers or Star 430s, and so I build the inventory up for those, so I've got, you know, I may only need 3 or 4 40403, but I need like 25 or 30 40405 A's and D's. Again, the bin is big enough that you can put a lot in it. But it, since they're individually labeled, I never mix the bearings. Every part number has its own bin. But
okay.
it takes a wall. Yeah, it takes a wall to do it. But and they're numerical. So if it's the fours, I know where the fours are. If it's the sevens, I know where the sevens are. If it's the 1,000, I know where those are. So I can just go to that section and pick it up. The other thing I do, this goes back to the assembly line thing. I forgot to mention this. For example, I'm going to do stars. I will actually get out the components of these little bins, the individual bins. So I'll have a bin for the spindle chuck combos. I'll have a bin that's full of back caps. I'll have a bin full of the bearings. I'll have a bin full of the O-rings. I have a, and so that way they're all sitting there, so I could just pick, pick, pick. I don't have to, I don't, it saves me intermixing new components with old, or mixing like an A with a C and a B with a D, which is, doesn't work too well in traditions as an example. But the little bins make it easy to keep the new components, new parts, in their specific bin, so they're easy to reach for. I don't know if that helps, but that's what I do.
Yep, that's, you do need a lot of room for that and a lot of those bins, but eventually that is a great way to do it.
Hey, David, this is Tony.
Yeah, Tony.
Hey, what I've been doing on, like, my parts for my bins, I get the ones, like, about a 2-inch by 1-inch drawer bin,
okay. Uh-huh.
And I put the label on the front like Jay's doing and label what the parts are. But usually when I get my parts from you guys that's in those little Ziploc bags, I just
uh-huh.
leave them in the bags and drop them in the bin. Reason for that is I've been known to drop the little drawer when I pulled it out before to get parts out of it. And that way, if they're still inside the Ziploc bag, you're not dropping bearings all over the floor or O-rings all over the floor. So I just usually leave them in them little Ziplocs, and they fit perfect in them. It's like a 1-inch by 2-inch wide drawer tray, and they're probably like about 4 or 5 inches long, and it just works pretty nice doing it that way.
Now, do you have an individual bin for every single part number, or do you do any kind of grouping at all?
I group some of them because you take, like, on the Star Scaler, you know, you don't have a lot of those parts. And what I did, I use a divider in the drawer, and then I'll fold the pouch in half and put some in the front half and some in the back half of the drawer.
Okay. Yeah.
And
so
I've got one little, yeah,
I
get multiple in it, and I'm not having to have a drawer for each and every part. And I've got one big, tall rack that's probably got, I don't know, 30 of the small drawers, and it's got a few of the larger ones in the bottom, and then I got a smaller rack on top that's probably got 16 drawers in it. And that pretty well accommodates all my parts.
Yeah, well, that's a great way to do it, too, especially keeping it in those Ziploc bags. So, number one, you don't mix parts up with each other. And then number two, if you ever drop anything, at least it's all still in the bag.
Correct, because I am known for dropping things sometimes.
Yeah, I think we all are. And then you got to dig around for a little bearing or a little spring or an O-ring.
And another thing, I had to take a quick step away from the phone. I had to go to the restroom real quick, but I keep binders in my lab as well for the dentist, and I've got three
uh-huh.
binders. They're like inch and a half binders, or they might be 2-inch binders. Can't remember. But I've got them alphabetical, and I call it a warranty log sheet. And I've got multiple columns on each sheet, like a date column. Then the next column is like the type of handpiece. The next column would be for serial number. And then I got a description column that describes whether I did a high-speed overhaul, new turbine, slow-speed overhaul, you know, whatever the repair is. And then I make notes in that column, like if I replace the spindle chuck, always write the serial number down in that column. And then I even got a price column where I even write the price down that I charged the office. And I keep that in the lab so that when I get the handpieces in my lab, I can go through the handpieces. So like Dr. Smith sent me in 4 handpieces. I go to Dr. Smith's page. I can look the serial numbers up in the notebook, see when they were in last or if I ever had them in and what maybe I've done to them the last repair. And it kind of gives me a quick reference right there in the lab. And that's the way I've been doing it since I started, and it seems to work real well for me.
Yeah, I think several guys use kind of the binder system, and some of the guys who are a little more tech savvy use the kind of Excel format.
I'm an old dog. What can I say?
Yeah, that's all right. It works for half of you guys, and probably the other half you like it the computer way.
Yeah.
So whatever works, whatever helps you be, you know, work better and more efficiently is what needs to, the system you need to put in place, right?
That's for sure.
All right, well, thank you very much for that, Tony. All right, guys, any more questions for the group?
David, this is Harv.
Yes, Harv.
I have one other option to address the question about doctors that want a history on handpieces that works well for me. When I do my invoicing, my QuickBooks is set up that I have a section on the invoice that I can make notes that the doctor won't see, which, for example, includes a list of parts. Then there's another section at the bottom which prints what the doctor will see. So where he won't see, I might make any notes of my observation that really don't, that he really doesn't have to see. But then at the bottom, the part that he sees, I will enter what I did, you know, what my findings were that the doctor might be interested in, because I had several doctors call back and say, hey, what was the matter with that handpiece? What was wrong with it? And this way, they can see the basics right on the invoice. But getting back to answer that question further, then all I got to do is just go to statements and print up a statement either from the beginning of time or for whatever period he wants it for, and it lists every serial number, everything I've done for him, and includes the basics of what was done to that handpiece, and that works out really well. It's just the clicking of a mouse, a time or two, and out it comes, and I send it to him.
Excellent. So do you get a lot of requests from docs for that paperwork? Or?
Not a lot, just occasionally.
Occasionally, but when it happens, you're easily
able happens,
to provide that information.
But when it happens, it's just at my fingertips, and it works really well.
Yeah, QuickBooks has a lot of great features in it that probably a lot of us don't really take advantage of, but, you know, whoever designed QuickBooks has already kind of pre-thought of a lot of these questions that we come up with and that your doctors come up with. So it'd probably be good to delve into QuickBooks a little more than most of us do, just to kind of see what other functions it can perform for us.
And I would have another comment in case any other franchisees are interested. But I have an IT guy here in my local town nearby that is a specialist in helping new businesses set up their QuickBooks and tailor it to their needs. And I'm in the process of something right now that I'm really excited about. Right now I'm using ACT, and I don't have that little integrating software that combines the two. But I'm going to switch to another database called Method, which integrates and becomes one with ACT. Everything will be at one place. Everything will be in a cloud, so I will be able to access it anywhere out on the road. I will have a hotspot on my iPhone, so I can reference my QuickBooks right from my iPhone anywhere in the world, almost anywhere in the country. Either from my laptop, if I carry my laptop along in my car, my iPhone is a hotspot. If I don't have my laptop along, I can still access it on my iPhone. And I'm very excited about it because what I need to do is organize and manage my time, and that's going to save me a lot of time. I will have speech recognition. I'll just go into the notes and say I spoke to Susie. I gave her some sticky notes, flashlight, and brochure of whatever, and right there it is. And don't have to write nothing, don't have to cut and paste nothing. Everything is all at one spot. I can access it from any computer anywhere.
And it's called Method?
Yes, Method is the database that will integrate with QuickBooks.
Okay. Okay, so it integrates with QuickBooks. Okay.
Yes, it will be like one. It will join the two together. Everything's at one place.
Excellent. But have you integrated it yet, or it sounds like you're about to do
no,
that?
No, we're
correct?
In the process.
Okay.
And I'm really excited about it. It's going to save me a tremendous amount of time, which will give me much more time to get out there and marketing, and that's what I need to do.
Well, good. We're always glad to hear that. So please let us know how that integration
goes. Yeah, when it's up and working.
Because that might be something we want to introduce to the group in the future.
Yeah, and this guy can work remotely with anybody that has a computer anywhere. Now that he's familiar with the dentist choice, and if you don't like the way he does it for me, he'll gladly tailor it to however you want it if you're not computer savvy.
Excellent. Thanks for that, Harv.
You're welcome.
All right, guys. Any more questions? Anything for Bud and Sean or Jay? All right, guys, well, we're kind of here at the Bewitching Hour. It was a great meeting. As always, I recorded it, so I'll make that available to you guys on the TDC Connected website so you can listen to all the information that was shared. Do check your emails when you get home because I did send out a couple of emails on some sample forms that Dave Reinhart uses in his kind of paper trail on handpieces that he gets into his shop for repair. So check your emails when you get home for that. And check the TDC Connected website for the recording of this call. And thank you, everybody, and thank you, Jay, and Dave, and Chris, and Tony, and everyone, and have a great day. Bye-bye.